day? Snow. Go figure. But obviously, it tells us who's in control, doesn't it? Our God is in control. But even in that, it was beautiful to see the snow coming down and rest upon the ground and the trees and so forth. But we are good and happy to be together, and we're thankful that you're here, especially if you're visiting with us. Please stay around so we get a chance to meet you and greet you and get to know you just a little bit. And I just love the opportunity to visit with each and every one of you as members of the congregation. So don't get in such a hurry to leave, as most of you don't. But feel free to stay around and visit as much as you want to. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 19. We're going to take a look at a verse, particularly in this passage of Scripture. I do want to say I appreciate Brother Larry Chafin for filling in for me last Sunday. I'm sure he did a good job, and y'all enjoyed that opportunity to study with his presentation. Today we're going to take note of something that's interesting in 2 Kings chapter 19. And as you have the New King James Version, it will tell you at the top, Isaiah assures deliverance. And that's what chapter 19 provides for us, is information on how God promises to deliver his people. Hezekiah is king, and he prays for help because Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, says, look, I'm going to take you just like I've taken all the rest of the nations. But he didn't count on something. And what he did not count on is the power of the Almighty God and the fact that prayer is powerful. And God heard Hezekiah's prayer. And then through the prophet Isaiah, an answer is given concerning deliverance. And if you will look at chapter 19, verse 30, a part of that answer through the prayer in the words of Isaiah the prophet are these, and there's going to be a remnant, and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If we look at the title of the lesson, it's entitled Time for Roots to Grow. Spring is an amazing time because life blossoms from the ground. And it's one of my favorite times of the year because you can just see the world coming alive. And who paints any better than the Almighty God? Look at His creation. All the beauty in the creation, from the birds to the animals to the flowers that begin to bloom. And then you think about the amazing trees, how they've sat there all winter leafless, then all of a sudden they start to blossom. The blooms come out, the leaves pop, and it's just almost like overnight the tree begins to grow. And what does it do? Well, what's revealed here is that it shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. According to those who've studied trees, roots are extremely active in spring. So this is the time of year that the tree's alive and the roots are beginning to push themselves outward, reaching out for the nutrients and the nutrition that is provided in the ground. And it's an amazing process. And when you begin to look at that process, it is amazing to see how deep those roots actually go. In fact, I read this, a bit of information, that 14 to 60% of the total weight is represented in the fine roots under 1 millimeter in diameter. Think about that. A lot of the weight of that tree is not what we see, it's what's down below. In fact, what is even more interesting is that these little roots make up 86 to 99% of the total root length. As you cross through the different types of trees, you think about that, the majority of that tree is really made up of those little bitty small feeder roots that are reaching out for what God has provided. And it's truly an amazing process. And it's a powerful process that represents the ultimate power of the Creator. And as you look around, you can see the evidence of that root growth that begins millimeter by millimeter. So you end up with something that looks a lot like this. What an amazing creation that God has given us. Now, how many of you around Marshville have seen sidewalks like this? Yeah, everybody's going, yeah. Got some of that going on right now. It is amazing the power of those roots till it ultimately ends up looking like this. In fact, I'm afraid a maple tree in the back of our house is doing that to the foundation. It is amazing the power those little bitty roots have as they inch their way through the growth process. And here's another example. Can you imagine? When those people put that sidewalk in, they didn't anticipate or think about the great power of what that little bit of growth provides. But then you think about the passage. They shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. How many of you have got some fruit trees in your yard or on your property? How many of you would like to have? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Those little roots reach out. And then ultimately what happens? For a fruit tree, it produces those fruits that we enjoy. And that's the concept that we have here. God is promising that through that remnant that they will take root as a nation and that nation will bear fruit. And ultimately, that promise of the remnant came down to Jesus Christ. God worked to bring the Savior. So ultimately, the fruit could be born for the ultimate salvation of lost souls. But I want to submit to you this morning that you and I must find root. As Scripture tells us, we have some interesting passages I want to share with you this morning. But number one, Scripture tells us that you and I, as the ultimate promise of the remnant that would come through Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to be rooted just like that tree and built up in Christ. Would you turn to Colossians chapter 2? Beginning with verse 6. And you can stay there and then we'll be going to Ephesians in just a moment. Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, as you, speaking to the church, therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I've been excited to see the folks that recently have been baptized into Christ. Because not only were they baptized in Christ to become a Christian, but they began a new walk in Christ. They were born again to grow and to mature as a babe in Christ so that they can be strong in the Lord. Just like that little tree that's planted. What happens? It grows and it grows and it grows. And we see it come up. But think about what's happening down below. It's providing for itself support. And that which is needed to nourish the growth. And so he says, so walk in Him, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, according to what God's Word has given us. We can have that which nourishes us so that we can take root, so that we're built up, and He goes on abounding in it with thanksgiving. And so this morning I want to challenge you to think about how important it is that you become rooted in Christ. And how's that going to happen? By growing in your knowledge and experience walking in the Lord. The word rooted that's used in this passage of Scripture means to cause, to take root, but to fix firmly and establish. You think about those great big old trees. What do those roots do for that tree? They provide what is necessary for it to be firm in the ground. And then, of course, in the passage, there's a term used, built. And it's translated built up. And that word is from one word, which means to build upon a firm foundation, immovable and enduring foundation. And that's exactly what a tree does. It grows, and it roots for itself a fixed foundation that provides what is necessary for that tree to reach the heights and to bear fruit. And when you think about us being built upon Christ, rooted firmly in Christ, it's as Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being that chief cornerstone. Without Christ, there's no building. Without Christ, there's no root. So we need to be rooted in Him and built up in Him, because He is that support, that foundation that is so essential for our growth. There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 17 that says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." And he goes on, he says in this writing of Jeremiah, "and whose hope is the Lord." Then verse 8, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes." Why not? Because it's planted firmly by the waters. It has the nourishment, that which is necessary for its growth. And he goes on, he says, "But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought." The drought won't matter because the tree is where it needs to be. It's planted by the waters. And then look at the latter part of verse 8. "Nor will cease from yielding fruit." You see, that's what God wants from us. He wants us firmly fixed and rooted and built up in Christ, because there is the nourishment. We have God's Word to feed us, so that we can grow and be strong and then ultimately have what we need to take the stand against adversity. When the problems come like drought, we have what we need to take a stand, to be able to find ourselves standing strong in the face of adversity. And then we will not cease yielding fruit. But I must tell you this morning, we, in order to be rooted and built up in Him, must be established in the faith. God has given us the truth of His Word. And that is what provides for us the foundation, because that connects us to Christ. And without truth, we become disconnected. It's truth that provides for the freedom from our sins. It's the truth that provides us the way to walk. It is truth that keeps us in that relationship with Christ, that provides that nourishment so that you and I can have that fruit that abounds because of the nourishment that comes from the ground. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus said it like this. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Here, relationship is being pictured for us of the connection that we have with Christ. And notice what the passage says, what Jesus says, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." That relationship is essential, because Jesus then goes on to say, "For without me, you can do nothing." Folks, we understand that have been Christians for a while, don't we? How many of you gave yourself over to sin after once declaring Christ to be your Lord and Savior and being baptized into Christ? Things were going well, but then Satan came along and provided that temptation, and we succumbed to that temptation. We were disconnected. What's that life like? If we were walking away from Christ, did we have that spiritual nourishment that we needed? No. When we didn't pick up this book and read it, were we providing ourselves with a food that provided for that which bears fruit? No. Did we feel connected to Christ? Notice what the passage says, "For without me, you can do nothing." And that's what we are when we disconnect ourselves from Christ. That's why as a Christian, we have to be firm in our commitment to make sure that we're staying connected to Christ, that we're rooted and we're built in Him. In fact, now turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin looking at verse 16. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And then he says these beautiful words that he's speaking of the Almighty and our Lord Jesus would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Last weekend in Texas, we enjoyed a wedding out at a horse barn. This is an area where they I guess had various different types of horses. And they had this big, beautiful horse barn they turned into a wedding venue. And out there on that property, to my surprise, was one of the biggest trees I'd ever seen. And I thought, that timber must have been standing there for a long, long time. And in Texas, to have that kind of tree is pretty amazing. But it was a big, beautiful, full, leafed out, it was spring down there, leafed out tree. And I can only imagine what that root system must have been like. But what was extremely evident was that that tree found its nourishment and its water from a pond that was not far away. And I can just imagine those roots reaching out there and finding their nourishment so that they were able to provide what was necessary for that tree to stand big and strong. And to me, that truly illustrates what we read in the Scripture. If we are finding our nourishment in Christ, we're getting what we need to be strong in the Lord. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and being rooted and grounded in love. He goes on, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. You see that four-letter word, and it's not snow, that's in this passage? Love. For God so loved what? This world that He gave. Our Almighty God gives nourishment to the trees that are in this world. He provides the soil, the nutrients, He provides the water, and they grow. And when there is abundant access of those essential items, that tree grows, and it grows, and it grows because of the fact it's rooted in that which provides for its essential growth and fruit bearing. And that's what God does for us. He rooted us in love, and we should be rooted and grounded in love, just like a tree that stands tall and strong. And isn't it interesting that we read about being rooted in Christ and rooted in love? Why is that so? It's because you don't separate the Almighty from love. That's what it's all about. Our God loved us so that He gave us what we needed to be strong. But here again, in verse 17, it's clear that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Notice what He says, through faith. To be rooted and grounded in Christ, to be rooted and grounded in love, is essentially based upon that which is so important, and that's faith. Faith in believing that God can provide, that God does provide, that God has given us what we need. Which leads us to this. When you look at these passages, you see one essential element that's so involved, as we've already looked at a couple of weeks ago, in faith. And that's prayer. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, Paul writes, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, God is the source. And Paul says, I kneel before the Father. What's he talking about? He's talking about the importance of prayer, of being there and finding strength, being rooted in God and Christ and the love that God has provided for us. And then in verse 16, he says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that you in Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then he goes on, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. You don't have establishment in love without the prayer. Paul understands this great connection, and he points out to them, I pray, I pray, I pray. I kneel. There's power in persistent prayer. In Colossians 1, verse 3, as he writes to the church, Paul says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I want you this morning to consider prayer like the roots of a tree. Those roots are pretty small, but they have great power to grow. In verse 9, Colossians 1, Paul says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul understood the power of prayer and how that persistent prayer has the power to produce and to provide what is necessary. And where does it come from? From God. And what's His desire? That they be filled with the knowledge of God's will, because He knew that in order for them to be rooted and built up in Christ and in love, they had to be filled with knowledge. And not only that, with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so He is concerned. What does He do? He prays. Remember this slide about the roots themselves? Little bitty roots. When you think of prayer like those little roots, what do? A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. They grow. Prayer's like that. God never intended for us just to one time bow our heads and we're done. No, He wants us to persistently pray, millimeter by millimeter, little by little. And what happens when we keep praying and we're persistent in prayer? We're like those roots that keep growing and growing and growing. And it makes all the difference in the world when we pray persistently. Why? Because the ultimate aim is to be fruitful. Can a tree be fruitful without roots? I remember tomato plants we planted in little bitty pots. We learned a big lesson. They don't produce fruit unless you give them enough of what they need. And those little old pots, all they did was contain a bunch of roots, and there wasn't hardly any dirt left. Because the roots were trying to reach out for that which is needed to produce the fruit, but it didn't have it. But amazingly, God designed that little tomato plant to push out those roots inch by inch, millimeter by millimeter, to grow, seeking what it needed to be fruitful. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be persistent. And I have been challenging you to be persistent in prayer. We've been asking that folks take a sheet like this, writing down names, and then praying persistently for those folks. It's not something anybody has to do. We've just been encouraging you to do it. Because this becomes a reminder of how important it is that we pray. And how we have a connection to a great and powerful God. It also reminds us of how important lost folks are. And how that they need that which is essential for growth and nourishment coming from the will of God. And so we've been talking about how important it is to be praying persistently for those people. But here's what's amazing. And here's why we need to pray. About this time of the year, you'll go out and you'll see a little tree. It'll fit in your hands just like this one here that's being pictured. It doesn't have very big roots at all. And you can go out this time of year right now, and it pops out of the ground about an inch. You can just reach down and pull that thing out of the ground with no trouble. Because it's not rooted. And then what's going to happen when you pull that tree out? It's going to die. There's a lot of folks in our world that are like those little trees. They're not getting the nourishment they need. And we've got an opportunity to reach out to them and to encourage them, to pray for them, and to do all we can so they can hear the gospel, so that they can obey the gospel, so they can become rooted and built up in Christ. And then there we can keep encouraging and praying for them so that they will mature and those roots will grow and grow and grow and grow. So they'll become a strong tree in Christ. So that's why we have been encouraging you to pray daily for folks that you can put on this list, that you can invite to be here, not just May 5th, but anytime. Of course, we're focusing on May 5th because we're going to try to get as many folks here as we can to hear the gospel. One of the things that we've encouraged you to do now is to send out and deliver flyers. And as mentioned in the announcements, I wanted to point out that there are a couple flyers out there in the back. I encourage you to take those. And what we have is two different types. This one is designed to be mailed out. You sign your name on it. You can even address it with your stamp or whatever. It's already, many of them were stamped Friday night with the church's address. You don't even have to do that. Just put their name and address, stick it in the mail, put a piece of tape. It needs to have at least one piece of tape. I wouldn't recommend taping it up like a big box going shipping goods or anything like that. It might be hard to open, but at least put a piece of tape on that. Stick a stamp, mail it to some folks. Or you might want to just deliver this. And then later on, take some of these. These are designed to be handed out. They're quad fold. You'll see those there. Pick you up some of those. You can hand those out. It's also giving them the invitation. Then on the back, it tells a little bit about the church, hopefully in a way that will cause them to be curious about the church. And then on the inside, if you haven't seen these, the plan of salvation goes out with these. So everywhere these get laid or sent, they're going to have access to what the Bible teaches about becoming a Christian. So let me encourage you to continue to pray for these folks, to pick these flyers up. If you've got any questions about any of these things, please let me know. We'll help you with those, because the more we work and the more we pray, the better chance that little tree that's floundering now in a world without nourishment can be planted. And then it can grow. Just think about your history and how people have had an influence on you so that you grow and that you've become stronger in our Lord. We have opportunity to do that for others, to help them find themselves rooted in Christ and built upon love. And that is so important. And it is truly time for roots to grow. It's spring. We have an opportunity this spring to help others reach to the heavens. As 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 says so well, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it's God. God who gives the increase. Folks, that's what we want to see. We want to pray and ask God that He gives us the increase. But we want to be the hands that deliver the flyers and takes things to the post office and prays for folks. Because God can bless that. But here's a question this morning as it's time to end. It's very personal. We may have somebody here who is not yet firmly planted. In fact, they're without nourishment. They're trying to live their life without God. But the question is, isn't it time that you be rooted in Christ, rooted in love? Isn't it time that you find your opportunity to be nourished through the Word of God in Christ? If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God, not yet a Christian, not yet planted in Christ, built to be built up in Him, then we're going to ask, as we sing this invitation song, that you find your way up to the front so we can assist you in being baptized into Christ for remission of sins. And if you're here as a Christian, you find yourself trying to walk away as a tree, unrooted from the nourishment that God gives, and why not this morning make it your decision to be firmly planted and rooted in Christ, built upon Him and in love. As we stand and sing, would you come?